Amen.
Thank you, Barbara. Good morning. Richard Schneer sent me a whole page of quotes about politicians. It was depressing. But a couple of them were funny. Politicians, this is John Quinton. He was an American actor, writer. He said, politicians are people who, when they see the light at the end of the tunnel, go out and buy some more tunnel. Another one, a politician is a fellow who will lay down your life for his country. So I don't think I'm going to read too many more of those. So they just kind of. Good morning to you this first Sunday of April. I have good news and bad news. We had a fire inspection on April Fool's Day. We got fooled a little. Nothing serious, and the church isn't burned down. Amen? On the back of the bulletin, Barbara, do you want to acknowledge the flowers?
Come now.
That's all right, it's okay. The front of the flowers say, in memory of a life beautifully lived. And I am today celebrating my family. My sister died on April 6th, 1996. She was 54 years old. My mama died April 2nd of 1994. She was 94 years old. And my husband Frank died 1 year ago next Saturday. I am so thankful that I have had a wonderful family, and it's even made more wonderful by the fact that now that I'm alone, my daughter has decided to retire and move out here to live with me. So, you know, God is good all the time.
Thank you. Special week for Barbara, indeed, indeed. By way of announcements, you see Vacation Bible School is coming up. Have you helped support that in some way by your gifts, your giving, your presence, or just prayer? Can we support VBS and support our kids? Amen. Sandy, do we need to say anything about women in faith? You see there the things that we are needed and things that are going on. We continue to ask for those and are thankful for that them gathering. Bring the microphone to Sandy Tenney, please, Michael.
The Women of Faith will be meeting Saturday at 10 o'clock in the parlor. All the women of Burns are invited.
Okay. Fair warning to everyone. Thank you. Thank you. Glad to have that going on and all that. Other announcements for the good of the order. I was going to tell you happy Wednesday as we blew in here. And I tell you, you know, we try to get Richard Schneer to trim the trees and take care of branches here, and I thought he was getting a good handle on it, but I looked out there this morning, and he just hasn't gotten it done. So as soon as he gets it done, and this is a joke, because as soon as we got it all cleared up and straightened out, the winds came, so we have some more. How many trees do you have at your homeowners association that you also take care of, Richard? So he has about 750 other trees, so we'll have to call him Forester, rename him. Other announcements, things by way of the good of the order as we're coming and gathering this morning. We are celebrating communion this morning in the United Methodist tradition. Communion is open communion. Everyone is invited to come forward, to come to Christ's table. Christ opens and invites all to come forward and partake. So we will be celebrating in our usual manner. I think everybody in here is familiar with that by now, so we know those things. Any other things? Nope, that's for prayer concerns. Anything else by way of the gathering? All right. Well, good morning. Let's begin and be in worship. Stand up, wave hello to one another, and let's turn to Nalu leading us in the call to worship.
I would ask for order.
Good luck on that.
Please
Please remain standing as we join together in this morning's call to worship. Come and let us join worship to sing, clap our hands, and shout your praise and to pray. Christ is our good news, our joy, and our salvation. In steadfast love and faithfulness, God has done marvelous things. God raised us from the dead. Christ is alive and at work among us. God calls us into partnership with Christ Jesus and bids us walk in the light. God calls us to be brothers and sisters in partnership with Christ as we minister to all the world. Please remain standing as we join in our first hymn, Beneath the Cross of Jesus, number 297.
Of Jesus, I fain would take my stand. The shadows of a mighty rock within a weary land, a home within the wilderness, a rest upon the from the burning of the noontide heat and the burden of the day. Upon that cross of Jesus my eye at times can see the very dying form of one who suffer there for me, and from my stricken heart with tears to wonders I confess the wonders of redeeming love and my unworthiness. I take a cross thy shadow for my abiding place. I ask no other sunshine than the sunshine of his face. Content to let the world go by, to know no gain, sinful self, my only shame, my glory, all the cross.
Please be seated.
Today's first scripture reading is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 4. Verses 32 through 35. It appears in your New Testament of the Pew Bible, page 114. Listen for the word of the Lord. Now the whole group of those who believed were one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions. But everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. Our next scripture reading, taken from the 133rd Psalm, and that appears in your Pew Bible in the Old Testament, page 543. This is the word of the Lord. How very good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head, running down upon the beard, on the beard of Aaron, running down over the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord ordained his blessing, life forevermore. The word of the Lord. I would like to invite the ensemble forward.
My help
by way of our time of prayers. Thank you, gentlemen. And thank you, ensemble. Song of Peace, thank you. Thank you for that gathering. Our prayers continue. You see the list on the back of the bulletin, and we lift those that you can see listed. We should lift others that are in our midst, other worldly events. They are continuing. We've had some other couple of fires and things. We're praying with the winds that the fires do not become a problem today and tomorrow. I think the winds are supposed to die down, but I did notice that the winds are blew open the blooms. Did you see the blooms on the trees? God is good. And all the time, God is good. Amen, amen, amen. Do you have other concerns, other things that you would lift by way of prayers for the family? Michael, if you, Larry Contour.
Let's all pray for my wife, Ruella. She didn't come to church today because she's got some stomach problems. So let's pray for her.
Okay, prayers for Ruella. Stomach problems. All right, amen. Michael, Rich, okay,
Diana?
Whichever way you want to go. Yeah, go over to Diana. Rich, gals before gentlemen.
As you know, Annie Crowder had a birthday last month or so, and I thought she was 80, but she's actually 96. And I know. And she could use some prayers right now. She's had they don't think it's shingles, but she's had an outbreak of small pustules on her body. So please, if you've got any extra time, she could use some prayers. Thank you.
Afflictions of the skin. In Jesus' time, all of those were called leprosy. So all of those different afflictions. Rich Schneer, please. No, no, no. We want Michael to have to run from opposite corners, you know, and spread things out here.
No, nothing local, but I heard on television this morning that this week the last survivor of the Arizona passed away. And so I'd like to keep all those who served and lost their lives in our prayers.
Yes, indeed. Amen. All those who served, all those who've passed now and who are... Tom, did you have something or... No, okay. Others, other concerns. By way of celebrations, Oseni, Mark Oseni is one. Where is he? Is he here? Didn't bring, okay. 1 year old. Oseni means ocean. Is that right? So, thank you for his life and his vitality and prayers for his parents. You know, do you remember having babies that were one and two and all that? And I don't remember. I slept through a lot of that trying to just catch up. Other birthdays and things to be aware of, I have Ruka Armstrong, 32 on Wednesday. Irene Chase, 101 on Wednesday. Elise Tavake, 65 on Wednesday. Richard Schneer, 75 on Wednesday. Happy birthday, Richard. What was that laugh back there? Yeah, I see. Okay. Sandy Tinney said he's catching up to her, and he said he wasn't. Okay. Don Larson next Sunday, going to be 18. Bradley Latal going to be 8. James, his twin brother, is going to be 8. Shelly Wynn, I have down having a birthday next Sunday. Others, birthdays, anniversary. Richard Schneer, microphone, please. Who'd I miss, Rich?
Cornus Pay. Okay, you mentioned my birthday on Wednesday. On Tuesday is my younger daughter's birthday. She and her family are in St. Louis, hoping to travel the few miles to be in the path of the eclipse on Monday, tomorrow.
Ah.
My older daughter, her birthday is on Thursday, so we have all three in a row.
Tell me the two daughters' names.
The Tuesday. Younger is Melanie, the older is Melissa.
Melanie and Melissa.
Yes.
All right. Trying to think what was 9 months ago, because it seems to be a pattern with you, but I didn't want to go there too far.
Exactly 9 months out of sync with my birthday is my son's birthday, which is the 10th of July, rather, where mine is April. Somehow we got things confused.
I see. It's easy to get confused in. Celebrations for them, and also, yes, for the solar eclipse, the lunar eclipse. We're fortunate that in our day and age it does not bring the terror and the upheavals that it brought to ancient civilizations. You can imagine what it felt like to be losing the sun and the panic that would have ensued. So, celebrations, don't look directly at the eclipse. All right.
Good advice.
Other prayers, other concerns, celebrations. Don't see any others. Let's join together in the unison prayer. Lord God, thank you for joining our humble gathering. Oh God, when the world is filled with good things, we forget our need to grow. In the rush and turmoil of life around us, we think we have no time to grow. We forget to turn to you and offer our thanks and praise. Forgive us, God, for failing to see our own failings and your magnificent love of us. Amen. I invite you to a moment of silent meditation and prayer. Loving Lord God, we come before you. We like to think we come humbly, but we are a bit arrogant and a stiff-necked people. We beg you, forgive us, Lord. Forgive us for thinking that we can order the world and control the things that are around us, that we can think we are in charge. When the wind blows and all of a sudden we have no control, you remind us, Lord, of your awesome creation. You remind us of the wonder of this entire universe, of weather, and yet of your presence through all that nature brings, both the good and the bad. Lord God, thank you for gathering with us this morning with people's gathering, celebrating birthdays, people remembering all kinds of memories as we are about these transitions in life. Be with Barbara and her daughter as they change residences. Be with them in their move. Be with people cleaning up after the wind. Be with people celebrating the blossoms and the new growth. Be with people traveling. And be with us, Lord, as we are in the midst of journeying, wherever we may be each in our journeys. Remind us to turn to you often. Remind us to listen for your still, small voice, not in the fire, not in the earthquake, not in the floods, but the still, small voice that speaks to us. That speaks to us through the Holy Spirit within us, your laws placed within our hearts. And remind us, Lord, in our arrogance that we are not in charge and that we don't have all the answers and that we are not possessors of the truth, but pursuers of the truth, which is Jesus Christ. As we come and gather, Lord, you know the silent prayers that we offer you. You know those things that we share only with you in our hearts. Thank you. And as we come, Lord, and have confessed and have gathered with you, thank you for your forgiveness, for your gifts of each other, and for your gifts of the very life that we hold. Guide us, Lord, to give you the grace and give you the glory, to celebrate you in all times and all places, and to lift our voices as we lift them with people around the world in the Lord's Prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. In the bulletin, it says it's noisy Sunday offering. That's a mistake. Put it in there to see if you were all aware. Thank you for your giving last week. Holly said we raised over $140. Amen. And didn't we all feel lighter and more, And thanks for all the kids doing that lifting. Let's pause for a moment. Remember all the good that we receive, all the gifts we receive, and the one that we receive them from.
I ask that you please rise for this morning's gospel reading, which is taken from the gospel according to John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. And that appears on pages 108 and 109 of your Pew Bible in the New Testament. Listen for the word of the Lord. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, Peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. When he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. They are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, We have seen the Lord. But he said to them, Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe. A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them, although the doors were shut. Jesus came and stood among them and said, Peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe. Thomas answered him, My Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The word of the Lord. And I invite the children down for the next hymn, and invite you who still have some energy to burn to remain standing and join with our children in our next hymn.
You big kids and your little kids, get off of the playground. All right. Everybody get a little bit of aerobic exercise there. You know, I don't know why, but when I was in middle school, one of the class periods, you had a choice to go and take French or typing. And I just didn't like the language French. I've never been really a big French fan. I don't know why, but decided to take typing, although, you know, who was ever going to need to know how to type? Now think about that a minute. Back in the 70s, we didn't have computers. There were manual typewriters. That's all we had. I remember telling my daughter, Beth, I said, you're going to need to learn to know how to type. And she says, Dad, I'll never use a computer in my life ever. We smile about that now. But I'm glad I learned to type, but my fingers are... God has tried to help my world, but my fingers get confused sometimes. And I sometimes... Do you know what a Freudian slip is? You say something that might mean more of your subconscious speaking out or whatever, you know. But when I get to typing, and I'm typing fast, I'll be typing along, and I'll type the United Methodist Church, and it will come out the Untied United Methodist Church. Paya, do you have that slide? See, is it United or Untied? You see the difference there? And it just has been my whole life long, ever, all through my career in the ministry, there are times that I type, I think I'm typing United, and it comes out Untied. It's curious to have that be the case. I mean, this is Unity Sunday, or we're talking about a... Nalu just told us about how good unity is. And yet one of the things that's coming up, we're coming up on annual conference, and they will report on the schism. Do you remember, we began to talk about it in 2019. There was a huge debate in our church over the issue of homosexuality, and churches were disagreeing, and we just couldn't come to resolution. We've been trying for 50 years. We've been trying since the 70s. They were trying to work through this, trying to figure it out, and they just, two sides that could not agree. So there was a decision that maybe we needed to let some of those who just couldn't agree with some of those others to allow what's called disaffiliation. And so that has begun this year. COVID got in the middle of it, got everything confused. You never got a report back. And I don't have very much real good information, but some churches have disaffiliated from the United Methodist Church. I am basing my statistics on an article by Eric Strader. He's a United Methodist clergyman that I know personally. It was in an article, Colorado Springs Gazette. And he said that about 10% of the churches in the Western jurisdiction have disaffiliated. The Western jurisdiction is going to be from Colorado west, the whole western side of the U.S. perhaps. And about 1 out of 10 churches decided they needed to just step aside and become a different church. In Texas, 40% disaffiliated. And worldwide, the average, according to Strader, was around 16%. So that percentage of our churches have disaffiliated, have split. And some have joined a new denomination. It may be World Methodist Church. It may be Global Methodist Church. I'm not sure. Is it global? Thank you. So they have formed another denomination, if you will. Godspeed. May we find peace and find Christ through all that is going on. And it's painful, though, to be talking about a split in the church, a schism. It's not the first one. I don't know if you knew, but back in when the United American colonies split off and we began our own journey, we had the Methodists, and it became the Methodist Episcopal Church, and so that's what it was. John Wesley sort of started it in England. It started here in America, but we didn't really get along with England at that time. So American Methodism is very unique from a Methodist church in Britain. If you go to a United Methodist Church there, I understand it's quite different. I'd love to try it someday. Probably won't get that chance, and that's all right, neither here nor there. But we were the Methodist Episcopal Church until 1845, when there was a schism. The church broke in half again, or earlier, that is, in our history, over a different issue, slavery. If you know your dates and your American history, that was the Civil War. war was fought. The most casualties of any conflict this nation has ever experienced. Certainly a large number of those because medicine was so primitive, and the slightest injury would be devastating, would be deadly. That division lasted until 1939, when the merger, they merged back together to become the Methodist Episcopal Church. And then in 1969, we merged again with the United Brethren to become the United Methodist Church. Odd that the pastor's talking about all these schisms when we're hearing from Psalm 133. How very good and pleased it is, pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. Do you feel that way about the nation right now? I would ask for a show of hands, but I really don't want to know. We are feeling a little bit untied, aren't we? One would think that we as Christians could be united in all things together, that we would find unity. And then I got to looking at the apostles. You know that the 12 apostles, you've seen pictures of them, you've seen the Last Supper, you've heard them named. They were all exactly alike and thought alike, right? Wrong. There were warriors there. There were peaceniks. They didn't call them that in the day, but doves or gentle, or whatever you want to call them. There were believers who would believe and be faithful and follow unquestionably. And today we heard about Thomas, a doubter. Unless I see and unless I experience the Lord for myself, I will not believe. There were educated apostles, but in an age when 98% of the population was illiterate, I think more apostles were probably illiterate than literate. I don't know for sure. That specific data point isn't really lifted very far. But there were some very well educated and some very uneducated. There were some wealthy ones, Matthew the publican, tax collector, he was certainly very, very wealthy. And there were some dirt poor ones, maybe some poor fishermen. I apologize. I do believe that the pollen is flying, isn't it? I would blame the Easter lilies, but they're silk. So here it was. Did Jesus just, was he not aware when he called the apostles that he was getting such a rabble gathering? I don't believe that. I bet you don't either. He developed, he grew this gathering that was his following from a very diverse group. They did not agree on many things, and in fact, after his death, they struggled for a while without his leadership. But they united around him somehow in some way. They were not even from the same ethnic regions. They didn't all have the same history. Some of them had a lot more Greek upbringing than Jewish. And so there were the whole gamut of people gathered there. Did you hear the VBS song? You were singing along to it. Move to the left, move to the right. Could be a song about our country today. Could be a song about how, as we Christians, we need to kind of be open and willing and be able to be in both. Be where we are, but be open to others as well. The apostles were not homogeneous. Do you know that word, homogeneous? Homogeneous meaning one color, unified. They were very, very mixed, very much diversified. Out of that diversity, there came unity. And we need to be aware of that. We need to understand that it has been the history of humanity to find those who are different and make them an enemy. Xenophobia. When I was growing up, we had chickens. Anybody raised with chickens? Not very many, but one day I was working on the rototiller, and I don't know how I managed to do it, but I managed to splatter one of the hens with oil. Not bad. She moved pretty quick, but I got her with some black spots of oil that splashed on her feathers. I told my mom, she says, where, and rushed out there. And I thought, what's the big deal? The hen didn't care, didn't do any damage. She says, she said, the other hens will find that speck and see her, and they will peck at it and peck at her until they kill her. That difference, that something, and they're not aware of it, if they weren't aware that they're hurting her necessarily. Unfortunately, in our human world, all too often we are aware of those differences. It is also an inflamed tendency. Do you remember the musical? Do I remember the musical? Thank you. First musical I've ever gone, Music Man. Thank you, very good. I had to back up and get to the 76 trumpets and all of that stuff. Professor Harold Hill's a con man, and he comes into town, and he's there to raise money. But he says, well, I got to save the town from the terrible trouble it's in. And this fellow says, well, the town's not in any terrible trouble. Everything is going along pretty well, actually. He says, well, we got to manufacture some trouble then. He says, is there anything new or different? Well, they brought a pool table into town. It's new. He says, there we go. We're going to make the pool table a terrible thing. We got trouble right here in River City, capital T that starts with trouble, that starts with rhymes with P that stands for pool. Boy, did I butcher that. But finding a cause to unite people around is as old as this humanity. And we are in a society that does that and unfortunately responds to it. And so if we are about that, we need to be aware that we are being manipulated intentionally and find a unity around Christ. Paya, do we have that next slide? I don't know how to picture unity. I did a Google of unity in Christ. And that's a real interesting, iconic sort of image, but different colors gathered around, joining hands. And as I have experienced the United Methodist Church, it is what we should be about. Our district, our conference, our church, our pretty darn good at diversity. We have learned how to be a diverse gathering of people, a group of people that understands each other and tries to. I have to laugh at my brother, Neo. He tries to teach me tongue and words, and my old gray ears, they're just slow to pick up. God bless him for being patient with me. But there are differences in our culture. There are differences about where we came from. Differences about who we are, what we're about, what we think, and all of those things. And yet we can find some inclusivity. In Jesus' time, there were lepers. You remember hearing about lepers? Any kind of skin affliction could be called leprosy. And the people ostracized. Jesus included them. And prostitutes. Prostitutes, people you should not ever be around, women that, if Jesus knew this woman who was wiping his feet, he would send her away. And yet he included her. And Gentiles, people traditionally outside of the Jewish tradition, Gentiles, which basically includes all of us. Thank God for that inclusiveness that brought us in. And I won't even get started on women. You've heard me talk about that. The psalm, did you hear it? It always tickles me. It is lovely, like the precious oil on the head running down upon the beard and on the beard of Aaron running down over the collar of his robes. That doesn't sound so wonderful to me, but it must have been something impressive and pleasant in its day and time. That's how lovely is unity and people who get to, who are unified and who live together pleasantly. Psalm, long before Jesus, but a point for us to remember. We don't have to be the same. We don't have to be homogeneous. In our diversity, we can find unity. Think about that a minute. Think about how it adds all of the color of the rainbow. It adds all of the dimensions of life. And it challenges us to believe in and what we believe and how we believe in how to love one another. So we come together. I had to think about unity, and I thought about my family. There were six of us growing up. There was not unity there. I thought our family must be the oddballs because I bet everybody else's family got along just fine, perfectly all the time, right? I didn't hear a lot of people agreeing with that. So this is how we are. We are different. And John Wesley, who helped get this ball rolling, this thing that we call, this strange method of worship we call Methodism, he said, if your heart is as my heart, then give me your hand. He understood. And it was divisive then. There were differences. There was xenophobia. There was fear. There were ostracizations. There was all of the divisions. And yet, we can be unified around Christ. So on this communion morning, we come to a table. It is Christ's table. Pastor Neil and I will stand behind it and work through the elements, but it belongs to our Lord Jesus Christ. It is Him and the truth that we seek and follow, and He invites all to come forward. Let's turn to Jesus' table. Amen. If you will join together on the overhead or in your Bibles, the great Thanksgiving, let us read responsively. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, God Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed are those who come in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed are you, holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. You gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by the water and the Spirit. Those are real. I'll blame it on them. On that night when he was gathered with his disciples, they were at the Passover feast. And they were all together gathered at the table. All of those diverse apostles and all of the disciples, women, children, all gathered at the table. And the Seder went on, and he took the bread and he picked it up and he broke it. It was cracker. And he gave thanks to God and he broke it. He says, "Take and eat. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." People looked at him a little weird because that's not how the Seder normally goes. It broke the flow. It was interrupted. But this is the Lord Jesus. They were going to follow along. After the meal was over, he took the cup. There's only one cup left on the table, the Elijah cup, and he took and he gave thanks to God for the cup. And he says, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you partake of it in remembrance of me." And so it is that we come and we gather, we celebrate together, and we commune. Amen? I invite our lay leaders to come and assist. Mark, Nalu. We'll invite you to come forward. If you would like us to bring the elements to you, let the usher know. We'll be happy to bring the elements to you in your seats.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else that needs served? This table is open. This is Christ's table. We don't restrict to it. Christ didn't restrict to it. Let there be unity. Amen. Our hymn. Mark, please.
Joy in the Morning, 2284.
Joy in the Morning. There'll be joy in the morning. Stand, let's sing.
2284 in your face. There be joy in the morning on that day. There be joy in the morning on that day. For the daylight will dawn when the darkness is gone. There be joy in the morning on that day. There be peace and contentment evermore. There be peace and contentment evermore. Every heart, every voice on that day will rejoice. There be peace and contentment evermore. There be love and forgiveness everywhere. There be love and forgiveness everywhere. And the way of the Lord will that day be restored. There be love and forgiveness everywhere.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Barbara. Thank all of you. You did a good job on that. Pat yourselves on the back. Singing joy. Singing about that, praising God and asking God to guide us to go out into the world and offer that joy. We acknowledged as I started the sermon, unity doesn't seem to be a nationwide thing right now. We can help and must in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go in peace. Amen. Join hands. Let's sing our closing.
Go now in peace. Go now in peace. May the Lord of God surround us everywhere, everywhere you may go.
And God's people said,
Amen. Amen.